The merchant fleet of the Netherlands was by far the largest in all of Europe, and Dutch shipbuilders concentrated on building low-cost hull forms that maximized cargo space, that discarded armaments, and used only the simplest riggings. Dutch ships were designed for minimal crew and maximal economy, and this actually paid off. Just to give you an example, in the year 1559, when King Philip of Spain was in the Netherlands, his courtiers were shocked to find that there were Spanish oranges selling in Brussels for less than the price that they were charged for in Spain. The exports of the Netherlands were roughly 11 million ducats in this period. That doesn't mean a lot to the contemporary mind, but we can say that they're about twice as much of the exports of England. And finally, the Netherlands was a very important center of finance. Antwerp itself was the clearinghouse for the public and commercial finance of just about all of Northern Europe. And all of the kinds of techniques of modern financiers, like bill brokering, discounting, bills of exchange, endorsement, these kinds of things, were almost all invented by brokers on the Antwerp Exchange. The financial importance of Antwerp and of the Netherlands is really quite crucial, because the Habsburg monarchy, it turns out, was heavily dependent upon Antwerp financiers to pay and to fund its armies and its wars. So much then for society and economy. I'd like now to turn to the politics of the Netherlands. And I think here we should probably start by stressing the fact that the Netherlands is a bit of a misnomer, because the territory was actually a rather recent creation. It was only in the year 1548 that Emperor Charles V of the Holy Roman Empire, who was actually Philip II's grandfather, had persuaded the Territorial Assembly of the Empire to allow him to administer the Netherlands as a single unit. The Habsburgs struggled to impose unity and cohesion on this disparate collection of provinces, but most of these provinces, or at least many of them, had a long history of mutual hostility. The provinces in the northeast in particular had very little experience of union with the south. They had only recently been acquired by the Habsburgs, indeed in the generation only after 1523. And it turns out that all of these northeastern provinces would in the end renounce their allegiance to Philip II. And the divisive influence of history in the Habsburg Netherlands was further reinforced by differences of language. There were at least five different languages spoken in the Habsburg Netherlands: Dutch, French, a dialect called Oosters, Low German, and a fifth dialect called Fries. So this particularism, that is to say, the tendency of the various sub-regions of the Netherlands to be more concerned with themselves and have less of a sense of union or common interest with the broader territory as a whole, is a characteristic feature of the territory. And these tendencies towards particularism were actually institutionally entrenched in the structure of the Netherlandish constitution. The Habsburg Netherlands were governed by a central government in Brussels, and it had four main organs. First of all, a representative of the crown, who was advised by a council of state. Second of all, a council of finance for fiscal affairs. Third of all, a privy council for the administration of justice. And finally, a kind of supreme court called the Great Council, which was based in the city of Mechelen. Now, that sounds like a fairly efficient and, you know, well-organized governmental structure, but it should be pointed out that all of the orders and all of the judgments of the central government were subject to review by the representative assemblies of each individual province, and these representative assemblies are usually called states. Most of these states were quite old. They dated back often to as far as the 13th century, and they were extremely powerful. They had the power to raise troops, they had the power to levy and collect taxes, and indeed, in some of the provinces of the Habsburg Netherlands, for example, in Flanders, these activities, the raising of troops and the levying of taxes, could take place only with the consent of the states. Now, in the states also included representatives of the clergy, the nobility, and the leading towns, so they were representative in that sense. And from the 1420s, joint meetings of the delegates from the states of all the provinces became common. There was something called a States General, which would meet. But the important point is that even though there was this overarching umbrella of a representative assembly, the individual provinces all had to give their approval for any collective motion to be binding. There was a sense, in other words, in which each province could veto the applicability of a general resolution to its own region.